Blog Talk Radio.
You guys ready, fellas?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yes, sir.
Fellas, you ready? You ready?
Yes, sir. Ready to do it.
Kick us off. You're not ready.
I'm ready. I just don't want to step on your toes.
Well, crank it up.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what it's about. We are officially talking sports with the 12th man. America, are you ready? We are ready. I am Andre Peterson, joined by a couple guys. They're not throwing four interceptions in the game. Definitely not. But let's kick this off once again. We are talking sports with the 12th man. Today, of course, is Tuesday, November the 17th. Man, what a awesome week. So let's kind of kick this off as we always do. I want to introduce my co-host, Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good. I just want to take a quick second to say happy birthday to my big brother turning 44 today. Love you, big bro. Happy birthday. Outside of that, I'm doing good, man. Yeah, it's my brother's birthday.
Good deal. Yeah, I'm going to show him some love too, man.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday to you, bro. And then Mr. Robert Ford, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing fantastic, man. Ready to get this party started.
Wow, that was a very brief intro. All right, well, let's kick this bad boy off here.
He is short.
Let's get this party started. All right, so let's kind of kick this off. If you want to reach out to us, call into the show, like we always do, the numbers are 424-243-9519. That is the main number. We are also on Twitter. If you go to the number at 12THMAN Sports, you'll find us in that space. And then finally, we are on Facebook. If you go to Talking Sports with 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find this on Facebook as well. Fellas, we got a lot of things to jump into. Let's kind of kick this off. And Rob, man, I appreciate you kind of kicking it right off the gate. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel is going to start the rest of the season. Man, so what do you think, Rob? Is this a good move, bad move? What are your thoughts about this kick right off the gate, sir?
Well, I know we talked about this on our show either last week or the week before. I can't really recall, but I think it's the right move. I think if you're the Browns as an organization, you spent the first-round pick on a kid. So I think you have to see what you have at the position. I'm still not 100% sold that he's a NFL quarterback, but obviously, once again, if you're the Browns, you have to see what you have. You have to know what you're gonna, what you need going into this next NFL offseason. If you're gonna have to look at another quarterback via the trade, via free agency, or via the draft. So I think you have to see here what you have with Johnny Manziel. I think they're gonna find out that they're gonna still need a quarterback. You have to
JQ.
Find out.
JQ. Yeah,
well, we talked
so
about
get,
it,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about it last week, and I think Rob referred to him as Johnny Bitty Ball, and I'm laughing at his 100% not sold. I think he's like 2% sold that he's an NFL quarterback. He's just being low. He's holding back a little bit right now. But again, McCown is a 35-year-old journeyman, and he's a bridge quarterback at this point in his career. And if you spend, like you say, you spend a first-round pick on Johnny Manziel, you have to figure out what you have with him. And quietly, he has a really good rapport with Travis Benjamin, but he doesn't have it with Gary Barbridge, the tight end that's broken out this year. Barbridge has a better connection with McCown. But I totally agree. And I read something today that it was really the front office that said, hey, you need to go ahead and start this guy. I don't think Vitek came out with that decision on his own. He kind of got forced into it by management. And I understand it, because they feel like he's trying to hold out to get wins with McCown to save his job. But they want to see what Johnny can do. And Johnny puts butts in the seats. And there's something to be said for that. He had a really high-ranking jersey sale. They want to see if they can feed off of that Johnny Football there in Cleveland. And there's no better time than now because they're not going anywhere this year.
372 yards on Sunday. So let's see if Biddy Ball can do it.
Biddy Ball. Biddy Ball. He's coming after you, Rob. Johnny Manziel is going to prove you that he is an NFL quarterback. Both of you guys.
I'll be all right. He only is about 4 feet 11.
4 feet 11. Shot
fired. Coming after you, man. Oh, man. Rob Ford is on fire, like you said. All right, you know, I kind of agree with both of you guys. Definitely, this is a situation where, yeah, let's prove and see what he's got, man. I mean, nothing left to lose. Season is already over. So, yeah, if he's the guy, he'll prove it. This is kind of his audition. And like you said, Rob, if he's not the guy, they'll know what we need to go to the season kind of figuring out if we got to draft a quarterback or get one via free agency. So, yeah, good points, both guys. We'll see what he's got. 372 yards, was that an aberration? We will definitely see. And about Biddy Ball, Johnny Football, whatever you want to call it, we'll see how his future is towards the end of the season. I'm kind of curious what's going to happen in the offseason for sure, man. So, keep it interesting for sure. Let's talk about another quarterback, Mr. Peyton Manning. He was actually benched, guys, and this is one of the situations where it's kind of tough. Well, we found out that he had an injury. And I wonder if that's kind of the reason why, or we'll kind of talk about this a little later on if it's kind of nearing the end. So, JQ, what do you think about Peyton Manning getting benched, sir?
Well, I'm just going to start by saying thank you, Gary Kubiak, for destroying us fantasy owners by saying he's healthy enough to start and put him out there. And he's clearly not, and throwing 4 interceptions and then benching him, so he just destroyed us. But,
yes.
You know, he's got sore rib and torn plantar fasciitis. I mean, there was no reason for him to be in that game. Other than you were trying to get him the all-time yards mark. And if you were going to do that, you should have just done that later or done it and pulled him right away. But it's sad to see it go down like that. But, you know, Father Time is undefeated, and it happens to the best of them. And, you know, he's already been through the neck surgeries, and he's lost a lot of speed on his fastball, so to speak, throwing the ball. And then you throw ribs and a bad foot on a quarterback who's already immobile, and you just set him up for failure. So I hate that they put him in that situation. I would have liked to see him, you know, take a couple of weeks off, at least try to get healthy and see if he can go out more in a blaze of glory. But I hope that's not our last memory of him throwing 4 picks in that game being the end, because that would just be a sad ending to an otherwise Hall of Fame stellar career.
Rob Ford, Peyton Manning's got pictures of Gary Kubiak, man. But what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Well, I think JQ really did a good job there. I mean, there's not really much else that I could, you know, say behind that. I mean, you know, I think Gary Kubiak set him up to fail this past weekend. Obviously, if he's going into the game hurt, and you know, either that or you just wanted to protect his legacy by saying he was hurt after he had an embarrassing performance, and
yeah.
So. You know, I think this is obviously the end for Peyton Manning, and I think he definitely should. I know this was a topic, we can kind of merge them together, but I think this is definitely the end for Peyton Manning, and he definitely should retire at the end of the season. It's, you know, I know he's trying to get that elusive second Super Bowl win, but I think, you know, at some point you got to look at your performance and say it's nowhere near up to par to what you're used to playing. And it's time for you to hang up the cleats, similar to JQ's other boy, Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my.
Oh, he is firing shots, JQ. Man.
Yeah, hey, Kobe had a great career. Peyton Manning had a great career. That's all.
He's right, though. I can't argue with it.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about you and your coordinator in a quick second, Rob. Let's kind of kick this off here. So the NFL playoff picture is starting to take a little shape here, guys. We're kind of at that interesting halfway point of the season. So, Rob, I'm going to get off to you, sir. What do we think about the playoff picture as we speak right now?
Well, as we speak, if you look at the AFC here right now, obviously New England 9-0 is the only undefeated team in the AFC now. They're at the number one seed. Cincy still has the number two seed at 8-1. Denver, even though they struggled the last few weeks, they're the number three seed at 7-2. Indianapolis, wow, 4-5. Holding on their division at the moment. They're technically tied with Houston, but they have the tiebreaker. So they're the 4 seed at the moment at 4-5. You got the Steelers quietly, even with all the injuries, at 6-4 as the first wild card at the number 5 spot. in Buffalo with a big win over the Jets last Thursday night. They, at the moment, have the last wild card spot with the Jets, the first team out looking in as at the five. They're 5-4 as well. If you look at the NFC, you got Carolina, still the only undefeated team in the NFC, 9-0. Arizona, who I think is playing as good as anybody in the NFC as well, is the number two spot at 7-2. Minnesota, wow, they've moved up past Green Bay. They're the number three spot in the NFC. Number four, you have the Giants at 5-5. You have Green Bay at 6-3, and Atlanta would hold the last wild card at the moment at the 6-3 spot in the NFC. So that kind of gives you a picture of the playoff picture at the moment.
Good call, Rob. What about you, Jake? Any thoughts about the playoff picture there that as Rob's able to definitely kind of go in depth about?
Yeah, and just to, you know, not to go on the people in 1-6, because he's done a good job of laying that out. Since he is catching a huge break, and I think they may be the biggest benefactor of Peyton Manning being hurt, because that was going to necessarily be a race between them and Denver for the 2 seed the way it stands now, because the AFC South is just a dumpster fire with their division winner. But I'm looking at the Chiefs making a nice push as well, sitting there right behind the Jets on the outside looking in the AFC. So, you know, don't count them out too far. And in the NFC, I talked about this in the when we did our preseason preview. The Skins at looking in, on the outside looking in the 7, but the Bucks right behind them as well, because they have a lot of talent on the opposite side of the ball, and then they're going to win, have these crazy shootout games. And even though the game against Dallas wasn't a shootout, they just find themselves involved in these games that you don't think they should really be in. You know, you talk about Dallas, you talk about, you know, the win in Atlanta. So, you know, some of those teams on the outside looking in, but the Seahawks being the fourth team on the outside looking in, given that debacle against Arizona, is the one that shocks me the most, because I think we all just assumed that they were going to be there when we started the year. And right now they would not be in. Not only would they not be in, they've got to jump a number of teams to get in. And I don't think they catch Arizona for the NFC West. I think their best shot is to try to track down Atlanta and Green Bay for the wild card.
Good stuff, JQ. Good stuff, Rob, as well. Yeah, I mean, guys, this is interesting. I know as the season will definitely evolve, we're going to talk about some surprise teams, because Rob, you nailed it on the head too, man. There's a couple teams that you got like that we have that are outside looking in. Some interesting things right now. I mean, you know, we always like the Raiders are making a nice little push. You mentioned the Chiefs, JQ. You know, I'm not 100% sold on the Redskins just yet, but, you know, it's interesting. The Vikings, very surprising. Everyone would have thought that Green Bay would have kind of dominated the division, but they're kind of having a little slump there. Kudos, guys. I mean, earlier, I know we were talking about Carolina. I was like, you crazy. But I don't know how these guys are doing, and they look actually for real, man. So, you know, man, good call on that one. So right now, like them. Arizona, we talked about them. The Rams are kind of playing that little game, too. They were one of those media dollies, too. I know they just made a move here. We'll talk about that change in quarterback as well, too. But, you know, interesting playoff picture right now. So we're going to keep moving here. And let's literally kick into the top five teams right now for the NFL. And so, JQ, I'm going to pass on to you, sir. Who you got for your top five?
1 and 2, you can interchange them how you would like. They're both undefeated. I'm going to go with New England. They're just finding a way to win. And even though they may struggle a little bit not having Edelman with the broken foot now, but they just have that plug-and-play offense. You put Amendola in, and you get LaFell back. So I think they keep cruising. Carolina with Cam Newton and on the defensive side of the ball with Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis doing their thing in the NFC South. At 3, I'm going to put Arizona. They just have looked fantastic, and going into Seattle and winning that game proved a lot to me for them. I'm going to put Cincinnati at 4. I know I'm a Bengals fan, and that left a bad taste in my mouth last night. They got to respond, and they have to go to Arizona. So they got a chance to jump back up if they can, you know, do anything. And then Minnesota at number 5, just surprised with a young quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. But Zimmer's got that defense playing really well, and Adrian Peterson looks like he is back in full stride. Had a big day against the Raiders, over 200 yards rushing. So for me, those are my top 5.
Wow, living out Denver. Rob, what do you think about that, sir?
Well, actually, mine are very similar. Yeah, it's hard to put anybody on over New England. They're the Super Bowl champions. They're undefeated. Great come-from-behind win here in the last 2 minutes. Obviously, the Giants gave them too much time on the clock, but that's another story. So, but, yeah, they're still number one. They're undefeated, 9-0. Number two, Carolina as well. Ball control offense, playing great defense. They're playing physical football. And so I have them at the number two position. I have Cincy at three. That's pretty much the only difference with JQ. I still have them at the number three position. Obviously, they suffered the first loss on last night. And number four, I have Arizona. And I think they're, at the moment, are the one team that can possibly beat Carolina in the NFC. I think you can make a case that Arizona, in some ways, to me, they look like the better team. But, you know, they have two losses, so I still got Carolina ranked ahead of them. But I have Arizona at the number four spot. A lot of talent in that defensive backfield. A lot of talent on that team, period. And number five as well, I have Minnesota. I don't have Denver. Denver's offensively struggling here the last few weeks. And so they're not in my top five. I have Minnesota also playing. This is a team that I keep thinking is overrated, but they keep proving me wrong. And so I have Minnesota at the number five spot.
Excellent call, gentlemen. We're kind of at the halfway point and 13 minutes left, and I agree with you guys in that good call. The way that 2 weeks ago, well, actually 3 weeks ago, guys, the way that Denver was playing, man, they were shutting down teams like, man, this is the team to beat, and then they just had that little slump like you talked about. So it is definitely who's kind of playing better at the time, because now Minnesota has definitely jumped up in there, another thing too. So I agree with your top five. That's kind of what I had too as well, Rob. And like you said, JQ, it's all good, sir, man. I know every now and then you have one of those tough games. They just couldn't make enough plays towards the end. So don't totally be too mad with your team's performance there. So be glad that you're definitely up there and you guys are in the top five. So how about that, JQ? All right, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the pep talk.
Man, he's been having a perfect all season good, all year. He won it. Man, come on.
They looked terrible last night. I mean, that's just not how you want to get your first loss at home on Monday night. But, you know, when we're talking about a top five, you know, you're quibbling. If you have any chance you're going to be in the top five, you'll take it. If you told me at the beginning of the year they've been 8-1, I'd take it. It's just the way that you get that loss after building up. The same way Falcons fans feel after starting off so high and then going into that slump. If you'd have told them they'd be 6-2, they would have taken it, you know, before the beginning of the year. So it's just perception at this point, but I still think they have a good team. They still are young in some ways, and they just have to
absolutely.
Yeah. Instead of better ourselves.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected them to lose last night, but I still think they, you know, obviously headed for a good season.
Mm-hmm. There it is. There it is. Good call, fellas. All right. So speaking of some people towards the end there, Peyton Manning, guys, and we kind of intimated this earlier that is it time for him to retire? And, you know, I'm going to have to say, unfortunately, yes, because, you know, the four interceptions, JQ, man, I had him starting freaking four interceptions. That just killed me fantasy-wise, and that's kind of selfish, but for his career, man, you know, you hate for him to kind of go out that way.
Minus eight right there.
Yeah, I know. Maybe you're hoping that he can kind of, you know, at least have a nice little game to kind of end it. You know, maybe want to have those classic games and a shootout. That's how you like to go out. Yeah, man, it's going to be tough, man. So I'm going to say, yes, it's time for him to retire. What are your thoughts on this, Rob? You think it's kind of time, sir?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, you know, you can make a case that he's the best regular season quarterback of all time. And obviously, you know, he desperately wanted to at least win that second Super Bowl. Even if, you know, the way Denver is playing right now, it looked like it's not going to happen this season. You know, but at some point you got to say, hey, my skills are deteriorating and, you know, my body is falling apart and it's time for me to, you know, to hang up the cleats. And you know, he and, like I said, Kobe Bryant are just going out together and, you know, two great athletes of their time.
JQ, Eli's laughing. Trying to fire some shots. Just like Eli.
Yeah, I've seen two great athletes at the time. Come on.
Oh, man, I don't know. That sounds like one of those veiled, you know, kind of compliments
shot
there. Backhand compliment. So, JQ, your thoughts. And then right now, Eli's laughing. And he's like, I got two. But you, big brother, you only got one. So, yeah, is it kind of like time for him to retire? Is he going to try to, like, you know, compete against his younger brother? What are your thoughts, JQ?
Well, see, the thing about it is I think it's time for him to retire, but I don't think he will, given the caveat of if they can hold on and win that division and he comes back and he starts to play well towards the end and you know, they have one of those fluky losing in the playoffs with him playing a good game, I think he may come back and say, hey, I was hurt. You know, I have a whole offseason to get my foot together. I'm going to sign a one-year deal for X amount of money and try to see if we can do it again, because that Denver defense is not going to go anywhere. And he still has great weapons in Sanders and Thomas. So I'm not convinced he's going to retire, because I don't think he wants to go out like that. And if he comes back and you see a glimmer of hope of, oh, he still has it a little bit and he feels like he can make another one-season run at it, he may do it. But I agree with you guys. I think he should retire, but I'm not 100% convinced that he will.
Interesting, man. Like
up,
I said, babe. I know, man. Rob is in rare form. All right, guys, really quickly. I'm not gonna. This is an interesting topic here. We've got about 9 minutes here. Does I don't know why Robert put this in here. Does Roger Goodell,
you know why,
deserve $44 million a year? Yeah, Rob. Does I'm kind of scared to ask this. Does Roger Goodell, Rob, deserve $44 million a year?
Hell to the no no, to the no no, to the no no. Hell to the no no, to the no no, to the no no.
Oh man!
Next question.
All right, Greg Hardy. Next question.
No comment.
No comment. JQ, Roger Goodell. $44 million.
You know what? I'm going to say, from a fan's perspective, no. But from an owner's perspective, I'm going to say yes, because the game is still growing, and the owners.
Oh man, the game will grow if you and I were commissioner, JQ.
I understand that. But the other piece that
Bucky
is
can still grow with us, man.
It's the concussion piece. I think the concussion, the player safety piece, he comes out and he takes all the slings and arrows for other things that we keep, you know, it's kind of like put a distraction out there so we don't talk about the thing that will slow down our growth, which will be player safety and concussions. And everybody that's, you know, retiring and dying and committing suicide, they run the CTE scan on it, they have it, and it takes the owners off the hook, because he's being vilified, and rightfully so, by all the other things that he's doing wrong. But it's taking the focus off of what it should be, which is how do we keep these guys safe and how we prolong their lives after the game, and what can we do to make sure that the kids coming up don't go through the same thing that these vets have gone through. So from an owner's perspective, what he's doing is fabulous, because nobody's talking about that, right? They're talking about him messing up the play gate. They're talking about him messing up suspension times and all that, but they're not talking about player safety, which they should be. So in the fact that he's keeping the owners out of the crosshairs, and it's going to be interesting when that Will Smith movie comes out.
I can't wait for that.
Can they continue to keep that under wraps? So from an owner's perspective, I'm going to say, yes, he's doing a fabulous job for them, because he's keeping them out of the crosshairs.
Yeah.
Off topic, guys. Are you going to watch that, though, really quick? I'll let you finish. I thought something about Sesame 2, Rob. You going to see that movie, too?
I can't wait to watch it. I want to see it. Yeah,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I've definitely read up on it, and definitely looking forward to it. And but I'll just say this, you know, one thing in regards to the owner's piece in regards to Roger Goodell. I mean, he does have his owners that support him, but I think it's not as like it was a few years ago. I think you have about 8 to 10 owners right now that are a little disgruntled with Roger Goodell in the National Football League right now. Obviously, the league is still successful. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, some of that may have to do with Goodell, but I think most of all, football is football. And I think there are a lot of people before him that set that up for him, that put NFL in the place where it is today. And obviously, I think he's the, you know, I've said it before, I think he's the worst commissioner of sports, and I'll say it again.
Gary Bettman for the NHL, but it's close.
They tied for last.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, so it's an interesting point, JQ. I do think that Roger Goodell is definitely the villain getting vilified. He's taking some stuff
So, yeah, he's not going to be on anybody's mantle or any Hall of Fame thing for sure, man. So you talk about a debacle in his tenure. But, man, good call. All right, guys, we've got about 5 minutes here. I definitely want to get some fantasy shout-outs before we end the show. Really quickly, Giants signed Akeem Nicks in the wake of Victor Cruz being out for the season. We kind of saw this. Good news for JQ. Hopefully you didn't keep him. JQ, what are your thoughts really quickly about this move?
I think it's just for depth. You know, I don't expect him to come in and have like a James Jones effect that happened in Green Bay. I think you've got your hierarchy established already with OBJ and Reuben Randle, and then you've seen Dwayne Harris really excel in that third wide receiver role behind those two. They get Larry Donnell back from injury, and Eli's just going to hit those guys anyway. So I don't see Hakeem coming in to set the world on fire. I think it's just more for depth in terms of the four wide receiver sets in case somebody gets hurt.
Rob Ford.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, obviously with Odell Beckham Jr., the way he's playing, and Reuben Randle is, becoming a decent number two target as well for the Giants. So, yeah, Hakeem Nicks would definitely be down the depth chart and behind those guys.
All right, 4 minutes here. Let's fly through this. Big, big games coming up here. Green Bay at Minnesota. Earlier, I would have picked Green Bay all the way. Not so sure, fellas. I actually like Minnesota at home in this game, too. It's going to be close, but I like Minnesota. Man, it's going to be tight. What do you think about this game, Rob?
I agree. I picked against Minnesota quite a bit the last few weeks. They keep proving me wrong. I'm picking Minnesota at home in a real close game. I say they win by field goal with their defense.
JQ?
Totally agree. Nothing more to add. Minnesota by field goal.
Tough one. Cincinnati at Arizona. JQ, are they going to bounce back your boys, or is it going to be a tough one for Arizona, sir?
No, they don't bounce back. I had this one penciled as they were on their trek of undefeatedness as being the game they probably would lose, because you know that Carson Palmer is going to want to come out and put a show on against Cincinnati. And don't forget about Bruce Arians' Pittsburgh connections. He also wants to put it to Cincinnati. And they couldn't stop Hopkins, and it's all they have. So what are they going to do when you have Floyd and you have Fitzgerald and you have John Brown? I think Arizona wins by 14.
Rob, what do you think about this, sir?
I like Arizona in this game, too. I'm thinking a little less than 14. I'm thinking somewhere between 7 to 10 points in this game. They're at home. So I'm going to go with Arizona in this one as well.
Buffalo at New England. I got to still go with New England. Rob?
Yeah, I got to go with New England. Obviously, Buffalo is an improving ball club. You got to give Rex Ryan some of that credit there. But, New England at home, got to go with the Patriots.
Absolutely. This is still little brother trying to be big brother, and I think big brother is still too strong for him this year. I'm going to go with New England by 10.
All right, Rob, you got to do fantasy shout-outs. You got 2 minutes, and you got to wrap it up for the OT portion. Go, sir.
Two minutes. League number one, the winner of the week, Black and Gold Patrol over Monsters of the Midway, 157.16 to 74.28. Black and Gold Patrol out of the Atlanta area with the biggest win of the week. In first place in the league, Bristol Bombers, Aaron out of Bristol, Connecticut at 9-1. League number two, Fleur de Lis, Matthew out of Indianapolis with the biggest win of the week over Bears Nation, 130.16 to 58.10. My co-host in first place in the league, the Ohio Players at 8-2. And league number three, winning, Aaron with the biggest win of the week over Irvin's team, 130.42 to 62.48. He's also in first place in the league at 10-0. And our fantasy basketball league, Pastor Rock, Chester right over here in New Orleans, 8-0 victory over Madhouse on Madison, and also Saints Pelicans 23, also here in New Orleans, in first place at 18-6 in the Fantasy Basketball League. That's our fantasy shout-outs. Next week we'll be on the air live on Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. That's going to be the night before Thanksgiving. So make sure you're all tuning in as you're cooking your turkeys and everything, getting it ready. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern time, 10 p.m. Central. That's 9 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So don't miss us as we get you ready for the Turkey Day games on next week. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Stay classy, San Diego. And J.J. Watt, get a little bit more class there, brother. I know that Andy Dalton beat you in the Rose Bowl, but you got to relax.
Shay Q firing shots here. To be the man, you got to beat the man. I got to move for every move you make. Woo! Dude. Gentlemen, we are officially in the OT portion. Let's kick it off, guys. We're going to make our switch to college football. If you guys didn't know, the current Final Four has been released, and we got some teams to watch for. So, Mr. JQ, what are your thoughts about the college football Final Four and your thoughts as far as everything? I know you should be a little happy about some things here, but tell me about your thoughts about the Final Four.
Well, I texted you guys about it, and I'm still going to hold on to my problem with Alabama being number 2 and 9 and 1 over 3 undefeated teams from power conferences. I know that we have this SEC love affair going on in the country right now, and SEC is the best conference, don't get me wrong. But when you have your victories that you talk about, LSU victory doesn't look as good now. Sorry, Rob, but it doesn't look as good now. Ole Miss has lost to Arkansas and to Memphis, so that victory, that loss looks pretty bad. But it's like they are taking the good and moving the bad aside and not bringing that into the decision. So I have a problem with Alabama being number 2. I think they should be in the top 4, but I have a problem being number two at this point over 3 undefeated teams. And then the same thing with Notre Dame. Yes, they lost to Clemson. But again, when you have Iowa and Oklahoma State sitting there undefeated, and Notre Dame not necessarily having to be tied to a conference, I think that definitely gives them an advantage, especially not having to worry about a championship game to deal with. So you've already given them, the spot in that top 4. If they win out, they're going to be in, even though they don't have to worry about winning the college a championship game. But that's quibbling at this point, and like Rob said, and he's absolutely correct. It's going to play itself out. And Oklahoma State may not end up being there because they still have to go through that tough November in the Big 12. And Iowa's going to have to face one of those strong teams coming out of the other side of the Big 10. But those are my two quibbles, but you can't argue with Clemson. They're playing the best right now. They should be number one. And then everything after that, is going to be subjective to argument at this point.
Robert Ford, what are your thoughts, man?
Well, I think my biggest gripe probably right now would be the Notre Dame factor. And obviously, to me, I would have rather see a team like Oklahoma State ranked in the top 4 over Notre Dame. Notre Dame doesn't really have a big win all season. And I can understand it being to me, the only way Iowa cracks his top 4 if they somehow win the Big Ten championship. I mean, their schedule is pretty weak this year. They don't have to play Michigan State, or Ohio State. So the only way they'll play one of those three teams is in a Big Ten championship game. If they can somehow get to, win and beat one of those teams in a Big Ten championship, that's the only way Iowa, in my opinion, deserves to crack in this top 4. So right now, the team for me would be, as of right now, I think I would probably prefer to see Oklahoma State in over Notre Dame, but as we just talked about, the system will play itself out, and I think the two teams to watch is Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. If one of those teams can win out, there's a good chance that one of those teams could crack this top 4 as well.
So can I jump in real fast?
And I'll say if Ohio State beat Michigan State, which I do expect. I think they'll leapfrog Alabama in the next rankings, too.
But see, this is the problem that I have with the committee, because you keep Iowa outside the top 4, but they have 3 wins over teams in the top 25 in Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Pitt. So how do you
them
put
teams
them
not no good.
But they're all, in the top 25 in the college football.
Them teams not no good. Come on.
But they got who else has 3 victories over teams in the top 25? Notre Dame doesn't, and they have Notre Dame ahead of them. It's that inconsistency when they do that.
Well, that's a good
that
point.
I don't understand. I don't think
Notre Dame has beat anyone. I don't think Iowa's beat anyone. So if you're going to put one of those teams, Iowa should be ranked over Notre Dame. I would agree with that.
Exactly. That's why I'm not in favor of what they have happened in these first couple of weeks. Because it's inconsistent with how they're doing their selection criteria.
I would agree with that. I think I would put Oklahoma State over both of them, but I definitely agree with you. I would put Iowa over Notre Dame, too.
Wow. All right, fellas, good calls, man. You know, I'm going to let you guys just kind of battle out, sit back, and kind of just let that happen, man. So, you know.
It's not a battle.
Hey, that's what makes the show fun, right?
I'm not saying it's a battle. I think it's cool, man. They kind of have that, you know, we got some, you know, SEC love right here. And then, you know, obviously, you know, JQ, you're showing some love here. I would love to, you know, battle some love here. The ACC is getting a little love with Clemson. That's my little tag to everything, man. I'm happy to see Clemson, man. They're playing fantastic. I would love to see my boys at Georgia Tech. But, you know, Clemson is playing good, man. So I kind of like it in a weird way, guys, because it is kind of unique to see kind of a lot of different conferences represented. So that's what I like, man. You know, you got Clemson, you got ACC, you got SEC, you got Big Ten, Notre Dame, Independent. So I think it's kind of cool from that perspective, too. So it's not just dominating one. So that's what I like about that. Not sure if that was kind of on purpose, but, you know, like you said, guys, Iowa's outside looking in, Oklahoma State still doing their thing. You know, some teams have dropped, the TCU, Baylor, great games, but, you know, we'll kind of see how that plays out. I'm excited about the playoff for sure. So, you know, let's not take
away
from Notre Dame. They've been playing well, too.
Get rid of that triple option, man.
I'm agreeing with you, man.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you guys, man. You know, I've always I thought last year was kind of aberration. And, you know, it seems like we rewarded them too quickly. But I'm like, hey, it's not working anymore, man. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. Hopefully we'll change. We'll get some really good recruits now, man. Just switch out. Just get out and get rid of that offense, man. So, anyway, that's the little side note there. All right, guys, let's see here. We got about 9 minutes, it looks like, here. Let's talk about this. Christian McCaffrey, sophomore running back for Stanford. And I guess the situation is, does he have a shot to win the Heisman? I'm laughing at it because if you didn't know, he is the son of Ed McCaffrey from Denver Broncos. And his mother, Lisa, played soccer. I love their comment, man. It's like, you know, that's why Ed and her got together, because so they can breed fast white guys, was her quote. But, he's a sophomore. I don't know if he's got enough guys to pull that off, but I just think it's interesting. So, Rob, you put this in here. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I think, obviously, you know, he may be in the top five of the running. I think the guy for me at this current time that I would vote for would be Derrick Henry from Alabama, especially the way he's ran the ball the last few weeks. I think he's going to, you know, offensive line obviously doing a great job for him as well. He's squaring the shoulders and getting up the field. And I think he's done a phenomenal job here the last 2 weeks, most of the season. I think he leads all running backs in touchdowns. I think Fournette is still ahead of him in yards, but I think, you know, he's on a better team. I would give it to Henry at this current time. But I think McCaffrey should be in the top five.
Nice. JQ, yeah, go ahead, sir, take it away.
And I'm going to say no, because he's the fourth best running back. I mean, he might, if you talk about an invite to New York, he may get it. But when you talk about Elliott and you're talking about Fournette, you're talking about Henry, he's the fourth best running back, and I can't see him leapfrogging any of those three. I don't know why my boy Ezekiel Elliott is not getting any more love. All he's done is rush for 100 yards every game this year, and I think he's at 15 in a row now. He's one of the I mean, he might be the most complete running back because he's also the best blocker and pass protector of any of the running backs in college right now. But he's going to have his chance over the next 2 weeks and 3 weeks. If they get to the title game, it'll be 3 weeks. Going against Michigan State and Michigan. But I don't think he wins. I think he may get an invite. He might get a free trip to New York out of it, but I don't think he has a legitimate shot at winning it, no.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's up there, guys. As much as I hate to admit this, Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma played a fantastic game. He may have helped Bob Stoops, because you know I'm not a fan of Bob Stoops, Rob, whatsoever. JQ, just throwing that out there. So that's a tough one, too. And then Ezekiel Elliott, like you mentioned, man, running back from Ohio State doing his thing. Leonard Fournette dropping, man. He's just a sophomore, so he can, you know, stake his claim next year. If LSU can kind of – I still can't figure out why they can't get a quarterback. And then Deshaun Watson on the outside looking in. You got the Dalvin Cooks of the world and whatnot too. But that's kind of what we're looking at. I still think, like you said –
You're talking about a quarterback. We need a coach.
I just dropped out of – all right, guys.
Here we go.
Connected my little audience thing. But anyway, that's what we're looking at, guys. We'll see how it plays out, man. It's going to be – I think it's going to come down to the last couple of weeks for this for sure, guys.
Yep.
Whew, I'm glad that you guys still had me. All right, let's see here. 6 minutes here. Let's talk about a couple things here. We have some college football predictions here. We're going to fly through these, and we're going to hopefully jump into some baseball and maybe – I do want to get your playoff – excuse me, your players that could be traded, Rob, because we're kind of in the start of the season too. Let's see, 21 Memphis at number 22 Temple. Rob, really quickly, your thoughts?
I like Temple in this game.
Me
Man,
too.
I have no comment on that. UCLA at Utah. Woo. JQ.
I'm going to go with Utah with Devin Booker. UCLA is too up and down for me. Utah has a fantastic defense. I think Utah wins.
I agree.
Rob, I like Utah at home. Mm-hmm.
Northwestern
I like Utah.
At – Yeah, me too. Let's see, Northwestern at Wisconsin here.
I like Wisconsin at home in this game.
Okay, I'm sorry, you got to throw it too. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going
go
Northwestern.
Go ahead,
I'm okay. going Northwestern. Sorry, I didn't. Just because of that defense. Yep.
I like it too. I apologize. I didn't throw it to the right person. Please forgive me. All right. Woo! Big game. Michigan State at Ohio State. Rob Ford.
I'm going to go to Ohio State at home, and I think this is, you know, probably, you know, even though they're the national champions, I think this is the real first showcase game of the season, and I think they live up to the performance and win at home.
Agreed. I think they've been treading water. I think they've basically been penciling in Michigan State and Michigan from the get-go. This is the week they have to come out and make a statement, Ohio State.
I agree, man. They've been circling this game on the calendar, bruh. They've been waiting for this game. So, let's prove it. Great game, guys. Number 6, Baylor. Number 8, Oklahoma State. JQ, your thoughts on this one?
I'm going to go with Oklahoma State and Stillwater. You got your freshman quarterback at Baylor, and how does he respond? You don't know, coming off a loss to Oklahoma. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma State. They didn't look that great, but they found a way to win last week, and then coming home, I think they win.
I like it.
I like Oklahoma
Ford.
State in this game, too. I like Oklahoma State in this game as well. Mike Gundy, I think, is one of the more underrated coaches in college football. They win this and beat Oklahoma. You know, there's a very good chance that they'll be in that top four.
I'm Ford,
if they
can
win
man.
These two games. Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
Come after
okay.
me.
All right.
I'm 40.
Come on. I'm a man. Another great game. Another. I love it. Another great game. Number 12, Oklahoma at TCU. You know where I'm leading, Rob, but your thoughts on this?
I like Oklahoma in this game. I know you're not a Bob Stoops fan, but I really like the way Oklahoma's been playing. You know, to me, they're playing at the moment, even though Oklahoma State is undefeated, they're playing the best ball of any team in the Big 12, in my opinion. I like Oklahoma.
I like Baker Mayfield, but I don't like Bob Stoops. JQ.
All the same reasons. And then you, Boykin, I believe, got banged up a little bit. And I'm going to go with Oklahoma. They're playing the best ball. Totally agree.
2 minutes, guys. I really wanted to get to the five players, but that may not happen, guys. Rob, I guess you want to set – we're going to do – if you can finish up in a minute. I'm going to let you kind of have this last moment here, sir, because you can do Slugger, David Ortiz, Kentucky, Duke. We'll probably say the five players here, so leave it – for that, and we'll give it to JQ for a quick minute here. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, yeah. As the news came out today, David Ortiz will announce his retirement. Well, he's announcing that he's retiring at the end of 2016. Great slugger in Major League Baseball history. Kentucky with 11-point win. The guards played tremendously well. Good transition basketball and 11-point win over Duke. Real quick, some NBA players to watch as far as getting traded. DeMarcus Cousins, not getting along well with George Karl. Don't be surprised if he can move. Golden State, Harrison Barnes, watch him. He's a free agent at the end of the season, and Golden State has to give big money to Steph Curry, and rightfully so, at the end of the season. Joe Johnson can help a contender out with his expiring contract. Jamal Crawford, Brandon Jennings, so watch them. The Pistons, of course, are going with Reggie Jackson over Brandon Jennings, so watch that. Once again, on next week, we'll be at 11 p.m. on Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Don't miss us as we're talking some turkey football. Good night, people.
JQ, you're in, sir.
Yeah, and just to throw in two other ones, Pekovic in Minnesota with Greg Anthony Towns, he might be redundant, and Taj Gibson from Chicago. That front court is pretty loaded. They're going to have to unload somebody. So those two more that I would throw in there. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. All the love and support as always. Catch us next week. We get our Turkey Day edition going. Appreciate it. Good night.
Love it, fellas. It's a pleasure to share the field of battle with you guys. We'll see you same time. Well, next week, different day. As always, we always love you guys. Tune in. Definitely listen to the show on our archive.